Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this HopeCast, which has as its purpose to give you hope. With me is my friend Jen Houston. Great having you with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, everyone, we've been asked the question regularly, are we in the end times? Jen, over this past COVID year, have you been asked that?
I have. I've engaged in many conversations with my friends. Like, what does all this mean?
Well, in response to that question to me, we have begun something at Hope University, a part of Moments of Hope's teaching ministry at Carmel Presbyterian. For an hour and a half on Tuesday nights, I have been doing an end times theology course. And I've tried to take that course and digest it into several of these HopeCasts, which are trying to give people insights into the end times. Has it been helpful for you thus far?
So helpful. I've learned so many things, especially about the heifer. And yes, I find it very, very fascinating.
Well, let's look at what we've covered thus far. We've looked at some of the signs of the time, one of them being the re-implementation of Israel into that promised land, that little place of land the size of the state of New Jersey, on May the 14th, 1948. Now, why is that important? Because in end times theology, Israel has to exist in order for Jesus to return. Well, in 70 AD, the Romans came into Israel and completely razed the city and especially the temple. There could no longer be any temple sacrifices, and the people were dispersed all over the world. Israel didn't exist at all. So from 70 AD until May the 14th, 1948, Israel didn't exist. Pre-1948, many people tried to spiritualize the second coming of Jesus, looking at things like the millennium, for example, and spiritualizing that. But then when Israel reformed as a nation on, again, May the 14th, 1948, we see the kingdom clock beginning to tick. We see the first real sign of the end times existing in our time, front and center before us. So our first HopeCast a couple of weeks ago, and I would invite all of our listeners to go back and listen to that one, because each one builds on itself, was the formation of Israel. Jen, what did you think about that one?
I thought it was fascinating. I mean, I didn't learn those details in history, and I just appreciated all the truth and the backing up with evidence. It was enlightening.
Well, we did that one as our first HopeCast. The next one that built upon that is the Ezekiel 38 prophecy 2,500 years ago, written about a coalition of nations surrounding Israel, nations from Germany up to Russia, through Turkey, Asia Minor, to the east of Israel, including even some African nations, and how one day all of them are going to come together in an alliance against Israel and attack Israel for its destruction. Now, we know in end times theology, Israel will be the centerpiece of the attacks of many nations. What was fascinating in the second HopeCast, I think, was the actual coalition of those nations being formed today. We're seeing in real time those nations are in existence. They have great antagonism against Israel. They are largely Muslim, and particularly Iran hates Israel, wants Israel to be set into the face of the Mediterranean Sea. They don't want them to exist. And we're seeing those nations start to arise in great anger against Israel. We're seeing another reprise of anti-Semitism, which is occurring worldwide. So that is the second HopeCast regarding the end times theology, looking at Ezekiel 38 and indeed chapter 39 about a coalition of nations that will come against Israel. That coalition is happening today. How about that one, Jen?
Fascinating. And right after we had that conversation, didn't you see an article that had happened within 24 hours of our conversation? What did you find in this article?
Well, two things. One was that Germany and Russia have formed an alliance together, and they are not bedfellows. They have nothing in common at all. In fact, in World War II, they were mortal enemies and fought against one another, yet there's an alliance occurring over the use of gas because Russia needs Germany's resources because of its size and its numbers. The second one was, though, interestingly, a picture of the Ayatollah in Iran right next to Putin with their arms around each other. There seems to be an alliance between Iran and Russia, which fulfills the Ezekiel 38 prophecy as well. It's absolutely fascinating. As we look at what's happening around us in real time, it looks like those coalitions that Ezekiel 38 prophesied coming together against Israel are actually occurring before us.
Yeah.
Now, the next one we want to look at, Jen, is Jesus' prophecies regarding end times signs. In Matthew 24, we'll look at verses 4 through 14 in this Hopecast. Mm-hmm. Jesus gives us some things that we should look at in order to realize the signs of the time are occurring. Now, here's what everyone needs to know. Jen, you're a mom. How many kids do you have?
I have two children.
Okay. So what is a birth pang for a mom who's pregnant, awaiting for that child to come?
It's a warning signal.
Okay. And they become more intense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Quicker to the child's delivery?
That's
is that
right.
correct?
Correct.
Okay. So Jesus tells us that these signs are like birth pangs of a woman in labor getting ready to deliver a child. Two things. One, they will become more frequent. Mm-hmm. Secondly, they will become more intense. Mm-hmm. Again, they will become more frequent and they will become more intense. So as we look at these signs today in this Hopecast, let's always remember they are to become more frequent. They are to become more intense as we get closer to the day when Jesus comes back again. So Jen, you want to walk through these with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
In Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3, the disciples ask Jesus, "When are you coming back? And what will be the signs?" He is on the Mount of Olives, which interestingly, in accordance with Zechariah chapter 14, that's where he will return. Mm-hmm. This is what's commonly called the Mount Olivet Discourse. And he's giving us the signs that will be preceding his second coming. So let's look at this in verse 4. "And Jesus answered them, 'See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray.'" So the first one is there are going to be teachers who deceive people, supposedly even in the name of Jesus. Hmm. In 1 John chapter 2, John talks about there are many antichrists, plural, who will precede the coming of the antichrist, and they will try to deceive people with their false teaching. Now, I have a lot of people asking me today, do you see false teaching all around faithful Orthodox Christian teaching? And my answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Certainly in the cults, and we need to know the differences between what we believe as Christians in proper Orthodoxy and what's being taught in the cults. But Jen, I'm also concerned with in the church. And we'll look at this more next week. There are teachers who are tickling our ears. And people ask me, how do you know if someone's a false teacher or not? Well, here are two indications that I would give. First of all, a false teacher doesn't emphasize sin. Mm-hmm. Just trying to please people and get fannies in the seats so that their following can be huge, and oftentimes try to make a lot of money so that they can live a very comfortable lifestyle. They're greedy. We'll look at that as well next week in the book of Jude that is particularly emphasized. Mm-hmm. But secondly, there are also people who don't emphasize the reality of hell. And I don't like preaching on hell. That doesn't win friends and influence people. But on the other hand, Jesus is the one who taught us the most about hell. We have more information about hell from Jesus than anyone else in the Bible. And if he's God, if he stepped out of eternity and became one of us here, he's telling us what happened in eternity, that God in Matthew 25, verse 41, created hell for the devil and his angels who rebelled against him. Mm-hmm. Their commitment against God is fixed. Their doom is sure. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for us. But if we follow in their rebellion, that is our destination as well. Mm-hmm. The gospel is not only just good news about how much God loves us, it's the bad news of our sin and our destination to hell. Jesus came as a rescuer on a rescue mission from heaven, the second person of the Godhead, becoming one of us to live the perfect life we can't live, to die on the cross, taking the the wrath of God upon himself rather than us, than giving us the gift of eternal life. If you're a faithful proclaimer of the word of God, you must teach, first of all, the reality of sin, and secondly, the reality of hell. If you are, listeners, under some teacher who never talks about that, you need to at least ask the question, am I under a false teacher? Someone Jesus said who would come and deceive us as a sign of the end times. Does that make sense to you, Jen?
It does. It does. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the next one. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. That's fascinating as well. Did you know that there were more wars fought in the 20th century than all of human history combined beforehand?
Wow, no.
That's a fascinating statistic.
Yeah.
So it means that, like in the birth pangs analogy, that wars are becoming more frequent and they're becoming more intense, which feeds into the next phrase, verse 7. Jesus said, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Mm-hmm. So wars and rumors of wars will continue to arise, nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and then evidently there will be a rapid increase in the intensity and numbers of famines and earthquakes. If you look, first of all, at famines, the increase of lands with deserts now has never been larger. You see present deserts encroaching upon vegetative places right now like never before in human history. They are increasing in intensity and numbers. And then also, you see earthquakes. There hardly is a day that goes by that you don't hear about an earthquake someplace. Now, scientists, of course, say it's because of the tectonic shifts in the Earth's subterranean places, and I agree, but the question is, why is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
Paul says in Romans 8 it's happening because all of creation has been corrupted, that every part of this created order has been influenced by the power of sin, and that creation is groaning for the day of redemption. Well, earthquakes are a sign, I think, of that groaning. Creation not working the way it's supposed to, those platelets shifting one to the other and causing incredible devastation and pain on the surface of the land. And again, we are seeing with the birth pangs analogy an increase in number and intensity of those earthquakes all over the world, as Jesus said, in various places. And then he says in verse 8, Jen, you'll like this again as a mom, all these are but the beginnings of the birth pains.
Yeah.
That's what they are giving indication of what's going to happen.
I hadn't really thought about this, David, until you just mentioned that the desert land is encroaching upon vegetation. But now that you say that, I'm thinking about the fires in California that have been happening more and more. And just as a mom, you know, trying to buy healthy foods for my kids, there's a time where the kind of apples that we like were not available for months at a time. And, you know, some specific lettuces we're hearing of shortages. And I just never considered that being a slight birth pang to famine.
Right, right.
Oh, well, my goodness.
I think that what God is doing is giving us evidences of what will come in smaller doses. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says that the world one day will be destroyed by fire, not by water. Because that's what happened in the flood, and God's covenant with Noah and us through the rainbow was that God would never destroy or use his judgment and wrath as water upon us. But Peter says that he will do it with fire in the latter days. So you wonder with the California wildfires if that's not a sign of what's to come in a smaller capacity. One day later, it'll be more with greater intensity, but again, it's a warning.
Yeah.
Look and see if that's not a part of what is giving us evidence that we are living closer and closer to Jesus' second coming. And then we continue in Matthew 24 in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. What's interesting here, Jen, is the increase of Christian persecution is all over the world right now. Obviously, in Muslim nations, especially Christians are hated. But in India, the rapid increase in the number of Christians being persecuted is astronomical.
Wow.
We're seeing an increase in persecution among Christians among different nations all over the face of the earth. And I would even say in America right now, you're seeing more and more of a hatred toward those of us who call ourselves Bible Christians, who believe the biblical perspective is the right perspective, and there is a perspicuous, a clear teaching of Scripture that we are called to follow no matter what. And if you take that position, you are faced with hate speech claims. You are then facing a potential cancel culture opportunity against you. You are seeing a rise of a hatred against Christians who believe in America today. And I think that's part of the prophecy that Jesus gave us here.
Yeah, I think that's quite fascinating. And I heard somebody say that the church in America, the perseverance of the saints, are going to become known as the haters, the people who hate. But that's not at all our identity.
No, not
it's
at all.
It's twisted.
Yeah, we are supposed to be the people who love the most. But what we'll be accused of is hatred, just like in the early church when the Christians participated in the Lord's Supper and said, this is the body of Christ, this is the blood of Christ. Those who hated Christianity called Christians cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find all of those kind of crazy accusations coming against us as well. And we're called, like you said, to persevere and stand firm. And you'll know people are faithful Christians if they're faithful Christians tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good.
They continue to cling to their faith. Then Jesus continues and says, they will deliver you up to tribulation, put you to death, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. You're going to see hatred increase, people betraying Christians. That's what's happening in Muslim nations right now, in families. You have brothers and sisters turning against their own brothers and sisters who've become Christians. That kind of betrayal is occurring all around us. And then many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. We've already alluded to that, to the number of people who will be antichrist, plural. They will deceive people with their false teaching and lead many astray. Folks, again, if you're under a teacher that does not teach sin, does not teach the reality of hell, you need to ask the question, am I under a false teacher? And then verse 12, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. What do I have to say about that one, Jen?
Man, that's intense.
Isn't that? I mean, as the birth pangs become more frequent and more intense, there will be lawlessness. As we look at what happened in the streets in America this past year. Lawlessness, not just people objecting to racism, which we have every right to do, but destroying property, destroying human life. That kind of lawlessness just cannot be accepted. In fact, the Antichrist is going to be called in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, the man of lawlessness. That's going to increase in intensity, and the love of many will grow cold. This is something my wife and I talk a lot about because we've lived a fair number of years, 42 years of marriage, over 40 years in ministry, and one of the things we would see and say is the love of many people is growing cold.
Yeah.
Many people are more self-absorbed like I've never seen before. And that love is decreasing when it's supposed to increase, especially among those who follow Jesus.
Wow, this is interesting because I have an ongoing conversation with a great group of friends, but we share very different political views and all sorts of, even, you know, we don't really have Jesus as the center of this specific friend group. There's just a few of us who are persevering in our faith. And one of the friends who thinks opposite of me when it comes to our walk with Jesus actually said if she saw somebody in person, and she lives in a very liberal state, if she saw somebody walking down the street without a mask on, she would literally hate them feel feelings of hatred. And I feel like that is evidence of, well, one, very controlling. If somebody is doing something that you don't agree with, like, wow, you're going to go to that extreme, but also just that coldness of heart.
Yeah, well, what you're experiencing in America with the big tech oligarchies in California mostly, who are not allowing a speech that is different from theirs to be any way heard, that's the cancel culture.
Yeah.
And that's not the willingness to allow a disagreement in love coming together. Classic liberalism always allowed people to express their ideas, and if there was disagreement, you would walk away hugging each other, respecting each other's opinions. opinion, knowing that your common humanity is what's most important.
Yeah.
You don't have that now.
You don't.
You have people canceling one another, hating one another. And I can't help but think this is another fulfillment of one of the signs of the time Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And let's keep going. He says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You just talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
The one who perseveres, who's a Christian tomorrow, is the one who proves their salvation to the Lord.
Yeah.
And let's look at the last one. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. There's going to be a rapid increase of the gospel being proclaimed to unreached peoples groups. Someone said to me recently that by the year 2027 or 28, we should have the technology that allows us to preach the gospel throughout all of the world.
Wow.
And I look forward to being a part of that. And one thing I would say, Jen, to all of our listeners today is, yes, have a concern for the end times. We're not supposed to predict the day or the hour. Jesus says that very, mm-hmm. very clearly in the Matthew 25. He said, only the Father knows the day or the hour. But we are to look at the signs of the time. And one of those is the rapid increase of the spread of the gospel worldwide. We as Christians should be a part of that, either going ourselves, but certainly sending our money, because when we send our money, we are sending ourselves, and we should have those unreached people's groups, the people who've never heard the name of Jesus in our heartbeat. And as that increases, it's yet another sign of Jesus' soon coming return.
Mm-hmm.
And we can always use this mantra as something to guide us in our Christian walks. Don't be so concerned about the signs of the end times, but be concerned very much about the ends of the earth. Not so much the end times, but yes, about the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
When we do that, we are being faithful to what the Lord wants us to do.
I think one of the major ways we can participate in Jesus's coming back, if we say, Jesus, just come back, well, we can participate and just spread the gospel.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the ways we can be a part of hastening his return,
yeah.
as the gospel is spread throughout all of the world. So, Jen, that's our lesson today. We have covered thus far, as we've said in the first three HopeCasts, the formation of Israel on May the 14th, 1948, an amazing event. Now, Israel will be the centerpiece of the second coming. Secondly, we looked at the reality of the Ezekiel 38 coalition around Israel that's being formed and taking place even today. And then today we've looked at Matthew 24, Jesus' own signs of the times as the day gets closer, and how they're like birth pangs. They'll increase in frequency and intensity. And you just can't read Matthew 24 verses 4 through 14 without pausing and saying, as I look at life today, it does look like these signs Jesus pointed to are increasing in frequency and intensity. The point is, all of us need to be ready if he comes today.
Mm-hmm.
Dear friends, listeners, are you ready? Is your life holy, accepting unto the Lord? Will he desire to come for you, his pure bride? He will come back again. He promised. Let's all of us have our lamps lit brightly so that he'll know we are ready, willing, and hopeful of his soon imminent return.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll look at the Apostle Paul's signs of the end times in some verses in 2 Timothy, and hopefully he'll give us some more insights into what may be going on right before Jesus returns. Jen, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, thank you for joining me on this HopeCast. I'm David Chadwick. I look forward to talking with you all again very soon.